Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We have been considering the components of the gospel, the greatest message of all, how a guilty sinner can become in a right relationship with God. Now, in our previous episode, we looked at God himself, and we considered the fact that God is the creator, therefore, he is the rule maker. He owns it all, and he can tell us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. And we also saw that God is holy. He is perfectly pure in his character and his ways. All of his ways are right and just. He is separated from sin. He is separated from his creation. And he calls us to be holy as he is holy. Well, the second component of the gospel is man. Man. All right. So first we saw God. Now we want to see man. And there's a couple of important elements of man that are important for us to see in the gospel. The first is that we are created in God's very image. Man, every person you've ever met, every person you ever will meet, has value in the eyes of God because he or she, born or unborn, about to die or before they even make it into the world, safely in their mother's womb, has dignity and worth and value. We get this from the creation account itself in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. It says in Genesis 1:28. So if you want to make application, even right off the bat, we can think about the way that we treat other people. And James says, don't curse people. They're made in God's likeness, in God's image, and therefore they have dignity. And we ought to never curse another man or woman or boy or girl, and we must not harm them. In Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, God says that if you take another person's life without justification, your life is subject to be taken because you have taken somebody's life who is made in God's very image. So, very significant doctrine, a very significant teaching of the Word of God that we are made in God's image. But if you know your Bible, you know that that great paradise in the garden didn't last very long because God made the rule. Remember, he's the creator. He's the boss. He makes the rules. And the rule was, you can eat from any tree of the garden, but not from the tree in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from that. Of course, the devil came in the form of the serpent, tempted Eve. She sinned, she ate, and gave to her husband, and he ate. And Adam is our representative. He's our federal head, if you will. And so therefore, when he sinned, we sinned. All of his offspring after him are counted guilty. So before you were even born, you were guilty. And of course, that affected our very nature. And so we're not born neutral. We're not born good and just in a bad environment. You and I and all of humanity since Adam and Eve, except for Jesus, were born bad. We were born corrupted. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, there's an amazing summary verse which summarizes the extent of our sin. And, you know, why would we even talk about this? I don't even like to talk about this because we're talking about the gospel, the greatest news ever. And the fact is, until you come face to face with the bad news, the good news doesn't make sense. We can't appreciate it. We can't appropriate it. And so we got to go there. We have to go there first to the bad news to get to the good news. But it also explains a lot of things as you look around at the world and wonder, you know, what it would take for life to look a lot better in this fallen world. Well, we have to deal with sin. We have to deal with the root cause. I mean, if you have a pile of cow manure in the field, yes, you can take some pretty pink frosting that you get, and you can stack it up just so and cover it with the pink frosting, maybe even put some candles in it. But that doesn't make a real cake. It may look good on the outside, but unless you deal with the root cause of the problem, you really are just dressing up the cow pie. And that's what our situation is. So it's important for us to deal with reality as the Bible says so. So right before the flood, story of the flood in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, God gives a summary of why the need for the flood. And he says these amazing words: "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So, summary: the wickedness of the earth, not just isolated, not just you come from the rough part of town, and so you guys have a lot of wickedness going on over there. No, the summary of the world is that the wickedness is great. And then he breaks it down. And this phrase, this portion of Genesis 6, 5 is so telling because it says, "and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So what do we learn about the nature of sin and the extent of sin within humanity from this verse or this phrase? Well, we learn that sin is not just your action, but also your thoughts. Okay? Some people think, well, I've not murdered somebody. I've not committed adultery. And of course, you know, if you know your Bible, that Jesus says, hey, peekaboo, God cares about the heart. Let's look inside. If you've hated your brother, you've committed heart murder. If you have lusted after a woman, not your wife, you have committed adultery in your heart. And well, this verse, all the way back in Genesis, has told us that our thoughts, our pride, our lusts, our anger, our coveting, you know, wanting things that don't belong to us, all fall within the category of sin. But you know, it's not just the thoughts of the heart. It's also the intentions of the thoughts of the heart. Well, intentions, that's another way of saying motivations. So you can even have a thought that may or may not be okay. Certainly, we know about actions that may or may not be okay. But if you have bad intentions behind that action, that's not good at all. So if I brought my wife a dozen roses, she would love that, all things being equal. But what if I had evil intentions behind that? What if I was trying to make up for a big mess that I had created? I'm not saying that it's wrong to give your wife flowers if you made a mess and it was your fault. But, you know, just for the sake of illustration here, if I was giving flowers to set her up, to throw her off or something like that, it would be like, wow, you did a good action, but your motivation was suspect. Your motivation was bad. Well, God says every intention of the thoughts of his heart was evil. But he doesn't just say evil. It was evil continuously. And he doesn't just say it was evil continuously. He says it was only evil continuously. Oh, my friends, the bad news is really bad. We're going to need some good news. But that's what the gospel is. That's where we're headed. So we've seen that man was made in God's image and has dignity and is worthy of respect. But we've seen that man has fallen desperately into sin. Now, we have to take a break now and consider more about our great problem, the second component of the gospel. What does the Bible say about man?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. And as he's talking about sin, it got me to thinking, look, that's probably one of the most uncomfortable conversations. It can feel overwhelming to us when we start talking about our sin. And that's why I want to recommend to you today The Gospel According to Jesus by Dr. John MacArthur, because this is not just another book. It's actually a wake-up call where Dr. MacArthur challenges us to examine ourselves. And then he tackles the tough things, the things that we don't want to talk about, obedience and our commitment to Christ, you know, picking up our cross and actually following him. What that looks like. So pick up The Gospel According to Jesus. It's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. You know as well as we do, we're facing so many challenges in our culture. This is not the same world we grew up in. We've never seen anything quite like what is happening in the history of this country. And that's why we need gospel partners just like you who understand exactly what's at stake. When you become a gospel partner with Fortis Institute, you're not just supporting our ministry, you're joining a movement to help equip Christians and help equip churches to stand strong when the world inevitably pushes back. I mean, think about it. Everyday believers are bombarded with messages that contradict God's truth. But through your partnership, we can provide the resources, the teaching, and the encouragement that believers need. And that's where your monthly support will help us to develop new content, to bring in even more solid biblical teachers, to reach even more people with God's word. So would you pray about it? Pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner and what that would look like in your life. You can get answers to any questions that you could possibly have about that at fortisinstitute.org right now. And something else that's pretty exciting, at fortisinstitute.org, you can sign up and become a Fortis Insider completely free, by the way. You'll get daily content delivered right to your email inbox that will help you navigate all of these challenges that we're talking about. Plus, you're going to be the first to hear about all of the free stuff that we have going on around here. Free webinars, you'll get private invitations to in-studio filming. You'll even be the first to hear about all of the sales that go on around here at Fortis Institute from time to time throughout the year. But you can only get that information by becoming a Fortis Insider completely free at fortisinstitute.org. Something else that's free is our Fortis Plus app. If you've not downloaded that yet, you're really missing out, folks. Hundreds of hours of free audio and video content, 7 new posts added every single day, including Fortis News with yours truly. And you can download it right now at fortisinstitute.org. And now, let's get back to Dr. Kratz as he continues to talk about the seriousness of sin. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we've been considering the bad topic, sin. And we have seen it in light of the gospel. The gospel has 4 major components to it. What does the Bible say about God? It says he's holy. It says he's the creator. What does the Bible say about man? It says that he is made in God's image and worthy of respect and dignity, and yet he has fallen into sin. The other 2 components that we're going to look at in more detail our, what is the solution to our problem? That is the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work on the cross and in the resurrection. And then how can we appropriate God's great gift of Jesus? In other words, what is the response? What do we do? Do we try to work hard to make up for our sin? No, we turn from our sin and believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. But before we get to the great news of salvation, we need to really understand how bad the problem is. If you were sick and went to the doctor, and the doctor just came into the room, breezed in, obviously preoccupied with other matters, not really paying attention to your chart, not really paying attention to the answers to the questions that you're asking. He doesn't really acknowledge your symptoms and just gives you a couple of pain pills and sends you on your way. You know, that would be a terrible thing because he didn't really get to the root of what was going on. There was no proper diagnosis of the problem. Therefore, the solution was just on the surface. It was like putting the frosting on the cow pie. It didn't do anything for your real root issue. It's painful to think of how sinful we are. It's painful to think of the depth of our spiritual dilemma. And yet, it is vital for us to do that so that we can be properly diagnosed, so that we can get to the proper cure to our problem. In Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3 is another summary of our sinful state without Christ. Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Wow, we were living the life of sin. It was how we walked, and the Bible uses the word walked to convey lifestyle. We were following the prince of the power of the air. We were on the devil's highway. We had passions that were leading us and directing us. We had desires of our body and mind that were misfiring, and we were following after them. You know, when people talk about what it means to be totally depraved, it doesn't mean that you are as bad as you possibly could be. It means that every part of you is tainted by sin. Your mind is tainted by sin. Your body is tainted by sin. That's why we fall apart as we get older, because we live in a sinful body that's dying. And if the Lord doesn't come, we will all die. That's related to sin at its root cause. Death is seen as the enemy, and it is the result of sin. But your emotions are affected by sin. You know, why is somebody so emotional? Why do they emotionally overreact? Or why are they dead inside when they ought to be grieved or they ought to be rejoicing? That's sin. That's what sin does. Your mind, your will, you make sinful choices, your affections, your attitudes. That's why we can't even trust ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all else. Who can know it?" We are so sinful. When we self-evaluate, it's like we're looking in a carnival mirror. You know, those mirrors you would see at the carnival or a theme park, which make you look huge on the top and super small on the bottom, or reverse it or flip it all around. It's not looking at things purely objectively. So that's why sometimes you'll hear theological hotshots when somebody says, "Oh, follow your heart." They go, "Ha ha, do not follow your heart, because our heart is deceitful." Well, they're right. We really ought not to follow our heart in the purest form. I mean, even our conscience You know, Jiminy Cricket said, let your conscience be your guide. But, you know, even though God put that sense of right and wrong within us all, that's why there's morality in the world, even among non-Christians. They know right and wrong, but we distort it. And our sin can deaden our conscience and reprogram our conscience to where we justify things that God says are wrong. Who's affected by sin? Everybody's affected by sin. After Paul gives three chapters worth of evidence that everybody everywhere is impacted by sin, he gives this summary verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You, my friend, are included in this summary. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You may think, well, you know, you just think you're righteous and I'm not. No, I don't. I acknowledge that I am part of Romans 3:23. I have sinned so much and I have fallen short of God's glory. In and of myself, I deserve God's deepest wrath. I mean, what is the consequence of sin? Romans 3:23 is another great summary verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we see that the second half of Romans 6:23 is getting into our next component of the gospel. What does God do about our terrible, sinful situation? God sent Jesus. But before we get there, we're still on the man part, and we see the consequences of sin, for the wages of sin is death. Remember in the garden, God says, Adam, when you eat of this tree, the forbidden tree, you're going to die. And death, of course, physically, is the separation of our spirit from our body. Spiritually, it's the separation of ourself from God. God is holy, and death, spiritual death, separates us from Him. That's why a person in their sin is not a subject fit for heaven to be with God. That's why we will suffer God's wrath in hell for all eternity if we die without Christ. We deserve it. God is holy, remember. God is the creator and the lawgiver. We are rebellious and sinful. It's so terrible. Even we're so corrupt. Romans chapter 7, I think about that verse where Paul says, Romans 7:7, yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. Wow, we are so corrupt that even when we see the straight edge of God's truth, our flesh, our nature, rebels against it. It not only reveals our crookedness, it provokes even more crookedness from us. Is the problem God's laws? No, that's not the problem. The problem is our nature. Oh, wow, that's the problem. That's the diagnosis, right? If you come to the spiritual doctor today on Integrated and you are not a Christian, let me tell you the diagnosis. You're a sinner. Say, does that mean I'm just trash and worthless? No, you're made in God's image, but the image of God has been shattered and corrupted like a mirror that has cracks all in it. You can still see. You're still in the image of God, but you've been cracked up. You're guilty before God. You need a savior. That's where we're headed. Remember the second half of Romans 6:23, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that's what you need, don't even wait for our next episode. You bow your knee right now and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Now, it's not enough for us to know these things. We need to act on them. We need to be doers of God's word. So today, go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.